2 Timothy chapter 3. We are on in verse 3. Let's start in verse 1 again. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. We talked about, we stopped at just disobedient to parents. Unthankful. It's acharistos, and it's, let's go to Luke 6:35 and see how else it's used. I'm thankful. We need to really start in this is the Luke's version of the Beatitudes. Let's start in verse 20. It's just right after he chose the 12 disciples, and he said, he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. I'd be running around leaping. You don't think I should run around and leap?
Well, even if it's because you're crotchety?
Yeah. Crotchety is probably the better translation. Woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do the same, even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Now, that's to me, the version in Matthew is what everybody knows, the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. But, and I've compared them and studied the two, and I think Luke is probably the most accurate, because remember, Luke is the one who First of all, he was a physician. He was educated. And he took upon himself to set in order all of the things that were transpiring. And Luke and the book of Acts were originally one book. And let's just go back to Luke 1 just a minute. I want to show you that again, just to emphasize it. 1:1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, and even as they deliver them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of these things, of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. And so that's why, I mean, that declaration, that you can't believe, I've read many of them, you cannot believe the stuff that was written about Jesus at this time. There's, you know, the Acts of Matthew, that it has all of the youth of Jesus, the silent years, and it's just goofy. They just repeated all these tales that people probably told about Jesus got in a fight and he killed a guy and he breathed on him and he was raised from the dead and he fashioned a bird out of clay and then breathed on it and flew away. And I mean, it's just all fanciful crap. And so Luke set in order all these things. But anyway, we're back to Luke 6. Verse 35 is what I need to emphasize. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping, and really what it says is give, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Now, the unthankful is this word, acharistis, and it means really without grace or without mercy. And we've seen it. We've seen it here. We see it when somebody bows their back and is convinced that somebody else is wrong. And it just... it's the way I got. I was that way over Joe. And I was so mad I couldn't think straight. And then it finally hit me. The reason I was so mad is that I had invested so much in him that it seemed to be nothing. I had no justification. I had to see mercy and always see mercy. And that's what you always... you just can't. You can't concern yourself with somebody else's response to you in any way. Amen. And if you do concern yourself with it, then your only response has nothing to do with them. They may be the worst situation in the world. They may have defrauded you. It doesn't matter. That's not your business. Your business is mercy. Okay. Now, unless the only exception to that is if you're gaining sustenance by being trod upon. If you're gaining sustenance by helping people. That means you're consuming the garment instead of the flesh.
Yeah, I've had a long experience with that.
All right. The next one is unholy. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. This is not the normal use for holy. This word is anosios. And it simply means that God isn't in their consciousness. It means that you've seen many people who believe that, they really believe it. They believe that what they've gotten is by their own hard work. Or that what, you know, it's, and so I certainly was that. I was totally unholy. You know, my only basis of life was rules are for when brains run out. And I took advantage of people. It was just because God wasn't even in my consciousness. And so this, it just means, it doesn't mean unholy like we think. It does in a way. Remember, holy just means there's salt in the salt shaker. Unholy means there's something either mixed with the salt or something else in the salt shaker. That's where we get the word.
Ossibius.
Huh?
Ossibius, is that the other one?
No, that's thinking. This is hagios. Normally the unholy is a hagios, and this one is a gnosis. It's a much more broader word, okay? All right, let's look at a couple of them. Go to Ezekiel 22. This is the way it's translated in the Septuagint. In verse 6, behold, the princes of Israel, every one, were in thee to their own power to shed blood. In thee have they set light by father and mother. In midst of thee they have dealt by oppression with the stranger. In thee have they vexed the fatherless and the widow. Thou hast despised mine holy things and hast profaned my Sabbaths. In thee are men that carry tales to shed blood. In thee they eat upon the mountains. In the midst of thee they commit lewdness. Now this is talking about thee, meaning the people of God, but the word unholy here is translated lewdness in verse 9. All right, now I'll go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding fast and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. And the shipwreck just means unholy. Concerning faith, they've made it by their actions unholy. Okay? Now, to me and to remember the Corinthian heresy in the first century, that saying that gain is godliness, they've made faith unholy. So when you're watching some of these televangelists, you know what they're doing is really unholy. They're doing it in the name of God, but it is unholy. All right. Now finally we're out of verse 2. We're running the race here. Without natural affection in verse 3. There are many words for, there are five different words for love. And the word here is storgos. And it's translated natural affection. And then it's got the negative alpha. In Greek, if you put the negative alpha, A, it makes it the opposite of the word. You got that? So this is this simply means that one is uncomfortable in their natural surroundings. They're uncomfortable with their family. They're uncomfortable with their work. They're not comfortable. They don't have the natural affection that you would expect in any environment, okay? So you become uncomfortable. It's really in spiritual terms, it's a natural order of things. Like around here, we used to say that for many, when they'd never known what it meant to be home, and so when they've been here for a while, then I usually ask them, "Do you feel at home?" And once you feel at home, then is when this natural affection. If everybody else is feeling at home and you're feeling, I can tell. This was my life. I was uncomfortable in every surrounding as a kid. Now, most of us were. Hopefully, each one of you had some place where you had natural affection. But as a kid, I didn't like school. I didn't like my relatives. Anyway, and you understand what it means. Without natural affection. Truce breakers. Aspandos. Again, ah, and then spandos. It's one who is not persuaded to enter a convent, a covenant. But it basically means, and this one is the one that really cuts you to the quick. It means that you're untrue to your word. I've often said here to people, my management style, if you will, has never been, it's at best, it's a laissez-faire kind of management. And it always has been since the beginning. But if somebody told me they were going to do something, then I assumed that it was done. And because if they weren't going to do it, then they should come back and tell me, right? I mean, that's just what I expect. And I've had time after time after time where what I thought was, let me just give you the perfect example. I won't mention any names. But a couple came here that were unmarried. They promised me they were getting married the next Saturday. They didn't do that. I didn't know that they didn't get married. So I was just, and they were living together. And it made me crazy. Because in a Christian community, that shouldn't happen. And I hit the ceiling because he told me something that he didn't do. And I could give you 1,000 examples over the years. I've often said that I would crawl on broken glass to do everything in the universe to keep my word. And if you don't do that, then you've got a real problem. You've got a problem with integrity. You've got a problem with acting. You've got a problem with respecting the face of men because you said you'd do it because at that moment you were afraid or whatever. And it's just crazy. If you're a believer, as I said, you should crawl on glass to meet. And if you don't, if you can't do what you said you were going to do, you should tell the person that you said it to. So this is what truce breakers means. It's a very common thing. It's not some truce breakers of two countries having a truce and then they break it. It's the smallest details of keeping your word. Anybody understand what I mean? What's going on?
My contact's
fine. Huh?
It's my contact. It's wrong.
Oh, okay. Let's go to Romans. Well, it's also in Romans 1:31, but we won't go there. False accusers. Guess what the word for false accuser is? Diablos. It literally, the word diablos, obviously, is a word that's translated in most places, the devil or demon. But it means anyone that's prone to slander. Now, the problem with this is, remember, I try with everything in me and I forget sometimes never to talk about someone unless the person that I'm talking about is there. Why? Anybody have any, do you understand really? Anybody, why would that be so important? And why is it broken so often? Anybody? Jeff?
I never do it.
You're lying through your...
I'm lying. I've done it a few times.
But why? Why is it so important to have that person you're talking about there?
Because you're speaking of your idea of them and not to
your person. Right. You're prone to slander. Now, there's a few exceptions where it has to happen. I mean, it's talked about in the scriptures. There are periods of time, there are issues in which the elders have to do it. Because decisions have to be made. But it should be the rarest thing. It used to... I'm speaking... Harry and I had more issues about this over the years than any other issue.
About
tailbearing.
Tailgate.
And once it started in the office, then it spread. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Carolyn has a knowing smile. Please. Because you got to know it, because each of us are prone to slander. Amen?
Amen.
Let's look at a few of these. Let's see where this word is used. This is kind of interesting. Go to John 6. Can you see why every one of us is guilty of every one of these things? And why we must abandon ourselves? Disown ourselves? All right. Jesus just fed the 5,000. And then in verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom will we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, that Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Jesus Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now the word devil there is diablos, one prone to slander. Okay? What's going on, Jeff?
I heard some tapping over there and I kind of drifted away.
I thought so. 1 Timothy. Well, wait a minute. We're going to go traveling. Let's go to Job. No, we'll save that because it's time to quit. I want to save this when some others are here. Because this one, as many of you know, is my pet peeve. Anybody have any response? Can you see why abandoning self and disowning self and emptying is so critical? Not to give your mind any place, not to give your thoughts any importance. All right, take a big guy.